Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. Your Peugeot car or van might benefit from a free software upgrade. For more information and to find out if this applies to your vehicle, call the lads in Slattery's Garage, puck on 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
Thanks, Pat, and you're very welcome back to Tip Today. Listen around to say, Fran, will you be interviewing the local and EU candidates from the likes of Ireland First parties and non-parties, and people who wouldn't be of the same mindset? It would be interesting to see them and hear them set out their stalls. We have no problem. We'll talk to anybody on this programme, and if anybody wants to make contact with us, I know Leanne at present is setting up lots of interviews anyway with local candidates as well as European candidates. But yeah, we nobody's banned from this programme, I promise you that. Just a bit of housekeeping. Vinny Savage, an old friend of mine, Vinny, was on to me last night and he wanted me to put to you a question. Are you influenced by posters on polls for elections? Do they change your mind? Do they remind you of the candidates? Are they necessary? He wants to know, do you think they should be allowed at all, for example, and should there be a cross-party decision on them being banned in some sort of a way? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about posters on polls? 083-311-3311. There's a bit more housekeeping because this coming Sunday, my friend Joe Leahy was on to tell me that there's service for life and that will be celebrated in the Augustinian Abbey in Featherton. Father Iggy there, needless to say, will be officiating. The service will take place at 12 noon, and everybody welcome along to that. As well as that, on Saturday night, there's a tribute to Tipperary's Queen of Song, the late, great Nora Butler. Nora, I was very fond of her, and she did more for traditional singing than anybody that I can remember anyway. And there's a tribute to her at Brew Brew in Cashel this coming Saturday night, but you need to book tickets for that. It's 062-611-22. I would imagine there will be a huge turnout for that and some great artists taking part. And on Saturday night as well, if dancing is your thing, I'll be at the Roundhill Bar on the old Nina Limerick Road, along with Muriel and a great night of dancing and crack. But a lot of people, where the Roundhill is concerned, some people come along and they just listen to the music. There mightn't be dancers, so everybody is welcome along to that on Saturday night. Now, speaking of Muriels, the other Muriel is with me from Marito 8020. Good morning to you, Muriel. How are you?
Pain in the backside one, friend.
Never. How are you getting on?
Great.
Did you recover from our little journey to the Cashel Palace last night?
You know what ruined my week? I literally felt it was Thursday and it was only Monday and we couldn't stay for longer than half an hour, and all week long I kept thinking the week should be over, and it was the longest week ever.
It was lovely though. It was my first visit there. It was so impressive.
Isn't it just fab? Just want to go back there now. That's I know.
Did you get much inquiries after that?
We did.
That package that combines.
It was fantastic. Yeah. Like the phone started ringing immediately, and one of the girls that kind of hit home with me was she was inquiring for her friend had a special birthday and she didn't know what to do and they didn't want to go out to the country, and she was only from Nina or wherever.
Oh, what a good idea.
So I just thought, that's lovely. That's what it's about.
So pampering in the palace and then you take them by limousine.
Yes, all the bits down to us in Clonmel and do all the consults and pampering and all of that kind of thing, and then back, and then you get your night and your food and everything again. So, and you're not far from home. Like, it's lovely to think you can sit into the car and go to somewhere within half an hour. That to me would be the ideal weekend away. It's the big drive back, isn't it? And the big drive down.
And don't get me started on airports as well. Yeah. You're going to talk to us today about ashes. Will you explain this?
Yeah, you'll have heard me talking about one of the girls in the clinic. Her aunt died last year of cancer. So Helen was her name. OK, so Helen was out pruning hedges with one of the girls in the clinic and having ice cream floats literally on a Sunday. She went for routine blood tests as she was feeling unwell. She had gastric issues or whatever. She was told something had shown up in her bloods and she'd need a scan. The scan showed a cancerous mass. And she was told she had 12 months to live. She lived 11 months. She was 56, right?
My God.
Her ashes have arrived back into the clinic this week, so that they're in the clinic. And it's lovely. You're going to even put your hand on top of the box or whatever. It might seem a bit odd, but you know, it's actually lovely. So she went off to, what's in Cork? What's the word I'm looking for? She donated her body
to science.
Yes. So then it all took whatever length of time for the whole thing to come through and then her ashes to come back. So yeah, they're there for now, which is lovely to have them there. But it just made me think about the walking wounded, because they're in the room next door to my room. And what I see every day is literally the walking wounded. We are literally have things going on internally that we don't know about. So like it can be pre-diabetic. It can be so many people are coming in with non-alcoholic fatty liver, and like it can be prostate. It can be, there's just so many different things. Like people are coming in and they're knackered out, tired, and it can be something simple like iron levels. But then it can be something else. Like you could be, say, at the very early stages of a Q-risk score for like heart failure or, you know, stroke or something along those lines. And when you do the bloods, that's your starting place. At least you can actually see, is there something there? Mm. So is it, my world is in, is it gastric related or is there something else? And if it's something else, then you see with people that conversation is in, oh, what do I do now? Mm. I never realised. And you see with people, it's a whole nearly changing or turning point in their life. When it happened with Helen, like she was only 56. And in the beginning, you're denying it and whatever. And it's, you know, it's not happening to me. And how can it be? And I think the anger and all of that goes on. But then it's the piece of I haven't lived. And, you know, I think this all hits us at some age. Is it 50? Is it 60? Is it 70? I think everybody's different. Like, you know, I'm say it was 50 last year. And I'm definitely thinking now a lot more about what have I left? Is it 20 years? And I suppose I haven't seen Mammy die so fast.
Yes.
She was within 18 months of being diagnosed. And those 18 months were very similar to Helen's 11 months of all the things I want to do, all the lovely clothes I have, all the places I want to go. And then simplifying it as in the really important things are sitting outside with somebody and like enjoying an ice cream and the sun is shining. Do you know what I mean? There's just so much involved in...
And I know that Helen's family, they don't mind us referring to her. And how did she take it when she knew that it was terminal, I suppose? How did she?
Well, it's devastation, first of all, isn't it? Like, that's the first piece that you have to actually process. And I remember that with Mammy as well. Like, first of all, you kind of think the worst. And then you come back and you think, well, no, it mightn't be. So I think nearly up even to 4 or 6, 8 weeks beforehand, she didn't feel she was going to die.
Right.
Like she was still knitting and she was still doing all the bits.
Living, totally. Yes.
Like, and she was brilliant, like, because she was the one that she'd realised, like, we had run out of toilet paper in the clinic and she'd, you know, come down with her deals bag and she'd have all the bits or whatever and even little bits for us, you know. And I didn't know her for that long. Like, I only knew her for a couple of years, but like, she meant, like, she brought herself into my world so much and all of this piece, like, just. Like, I would talk to her now and I just feel like she was really special within our world.
Yes.
And we still go and light a candle in the friary and everything. But she didn't believe until nearly the very end. There was always hope, I think, until nearly 3 weeks or so beforehand.
Yes.
And that was even when she was in bed in St. Joseph's and looking down across the valley at the beautiful tree, the hills and whatever. She had a room out the front and that. There was always hope. But you know the lovely thing about being involved in somebody's world like that, so anyone that has been there will know this, the advice you get is invaluable. What they tell you to do, you have to listen to. The living or the living they're not going to do, they tell you, like, you need to live. You need to do A, B and C.
Because they're in a very particular place where they have this knowledge, I suppose.
If somebody tells you at 56 you're going to die, that you only have 12 months to live, like, how much living can you do in 12 months?
And what are the regrets? Are they largely about things that haven't been done?
Yeah, it was everyone. Not even things that haven't been done. I think it's overthinking, over worrying, over bothering about the stupid stuff.
I know.
It's all of that. Like, it's like going from day to day. And like, I'm totally at fault here. Like, of really getting stuck into the world of, I have so much to do. There are so many things in my head. All of that. And instead of just saying, what can you do about a lot of it?
Yes.
Like, is the world going to fall down around you because you're overthinking, you're over worrying and you're not making whatever match, or you're not getting out for your walk, or you're not making time for a lunch, or you're not just sitting for 10 minutes and having the ice cream when the sun is shining because you've 50 million things to do. Like, that's probably the simpler stuff, isn't it, about enjoying life instead of thinking, I need a new car and I haven't a holiday book this year and can I afford it and all of that. It's simplifying it. And that was Helen. Like, she had said to me, happiness, being happy, and not stressing, but the happy piece, that was one of the biggest things for her. Live life. And that's,
as you say, so much to learn from people who are in that yep. unfortunate position. And getting back to the blood tests and stuff, is that part of every consultation you have?
Because No, it depends. So some people can come in for something very simple, and yes, we have a conversation. And if I feel they don't need to do the bloods, whatever, we won't do them. For a lot of people, maybe 70% of people, I will need to see the bloods, because I do need to see where the inflammation is in the body, and they're miserable. So if somebody is miserable, where is it coming from? So I have to check and see, is there something more sinister?
What can the bloods tell you?
Well, it depends what you feel you need. So like with some people, it can be something, if their energy level's on the floor, it can be something simple. And I might like do iron levels, vitamin B12. I might do like the basic blood panel just to see, you know, what's actually happening there. And it's funny, Fran, I would think of all the bloods I'm doing, the one that's coming up time and time again is cholesterol. Okay? So literally 4 out of 5 people seem to have elevated cholesterol levels. And the elevated cholesterol that would have been, say, 3 and 4 years ago, over 5. Now you're looking at over 6, the total cholesterol, even hitting into 7. So like their LDL, which is their bad cholesterol, is like at 4.5. We're even seeing elevated triglycerides, which we didn't see as much of before. And seeing the HDL, which is your good cholesterol, on the floor. That should be like at least over 1 or 1.1 or 1.2, if not up near 2, if you could at all. I'm also seeing a lot of non-alcoholic fatty liver. And people are coming into me, so they're bringing their blood results, even if they've had them done with their GP, and yes. they haven't been read, and they've been told everything is satisfactory, or maybe you have non-alcoholic fatty liver. You need to go away and do something about it. And they're really upset. They're coming in, Muriel, I don't drink, or I have one glass of wine at the weekend or whatever. Mm. It's not drink-related. It's more food and lifestyle related. So it's nothing to do with drink.
And what are the symptoms of that?
Oh, well, with non-alcoholic fatty liver and cholesterol, you might have no symptoms.
That's the big danger, isn't it?
That's the walking yes. wounded piece, because you have no idea. It's yes. like prostate, you know, like you have no idea. So there's certain tests like that you just have to get done at a certain age. Like it's like a smear test. It's like your mammogram. It's these things that we have to get done when we hit a certain age. But we bury our head in the sand. And that's the walking wounded.
Yes, that's me.
Yeah, we just spoke about that.
Yeah, if I can avoid tests or anything, I'll just sort of go.
So when you don't know about it,
trundle on.
You don't worry about it.
I know, yeah.
That's the thing. And then until something happens, then that you go. And isn't that what I keep saying about the number we are, Fran? Like, we become the number, the 5 or the 6, and like we're at a certain age. So yeah, that's what we're supposed to be. But I will keep saying this. If you mind yourself and you do the preventative side and you find out something is wrong, you can, like, so many times you can do the preventative world that you can bring cholesterol levels down. You can, like, the non-alcoholic fatty liver goes, the inflammation goes down in the body, and you become well. And you see, you add on years. That's what you're doing. Like, instead of your lifespan being reduced and at 70 or 72, you're adding on the years that you're going to get to the 80, 85 or 86. Well, not that you're sitting in wherever a chair and somebody has to lift you
yes.
out of it. And
yeah, you're yeah. able to live life too.
Properly. Because yes. I would prefer to die at 70 and be well. Live until 86 and be.
You took my blood sugar level when we were on outside broadcast 2 weeks ago, and I was delighted. It was pretty decent. It was 4.8, I think.
Which was perfectly normal.
Perfectly normal. What did I do then? I left Muriel, and I bought a large Red Bull and a Twix by way of celebration. Like, I need to be locked up.
But you see, what I should have been doing then was following you, that I would have done your blood sugars after you had that to see how fast and how high they went. But like, you're putting your arteries under savage pressure.
Yeah.
You're putting your body under savage pressure, because when you put that much sugar in, you're wearing them down. That's what's happening.
But
so they're breaking down and they're wearing down.
Absolutely no sense. I'm like a child. Really no sense whatsoever.
But it's mindset, Fran. Yeah. And you know, it's like alcoholism, or it's like whatever. There are most certainly, sugar is an addiction.
Mm.
It's a total addiction. Mm. So like, I don't ever say somebody's at fault or whatever. There's a reason you're having sugar. Like, yes. you know, there's something, there's a deficiency.
And
there's something.
A really strong, I keep saying this, it's a very strong addiction. Like, I enjoy a drink, for example. It's a bit of an understatement, I'm sure some people at home are saying. But by comparison, give me the bar of chocolate. I mean, you know.
I had a girl in yesterday. She was exactly the same. A lot of people actually in this week, when I go through their diary with them and I see what they're eating, I know when I come to the question about alcohol that they're not actually drinking at all. They don't drink anything. Because it's nearly one or the other. You're completely finished because you do both. It's like
thanks for that.
But no.
I hope your bedside manner with But the people come to you is a little better than that now. You're completely finished. Yes.
No, but it is normally one or the other that when I see somebody has a lot of carbs and they really crave sugar, that's their piece, that they prefer the bar of chocolate to the glass of wine. Yeah.
I see. Okay, I'll deal with that critique. Frank, can you ask Muriel, what is the best bread if you have diverticulitis? I can never pronounce that properly. Is that right? Diverticulitis.
This is a hard one, okay? So,
why?
Well, diverticulitis is like pockets and, you know, seeds and nuts and things like that will sit in the pockets. So it's hard to get it right. The one I'm actually finding lately that I'm recommending, there's two. So it depends whether you're in a flare-up or not, right? Definitely if you're in a flare-up, I would nearly avoid bread completely. But sourdough bread is a good one. The only problem with sourdough bread is you'll eat too much of it. And a couple of slices is supposed to be a couple of slices, literally. I also recommend the whole wheat McCambridge bread. There is no sulfurials, there's no inflammatories in it. But what I'd recommend to do with that is freeze it and toast it. So that'll make it more palatable and it kind of breaks it down a little, so there isn't anything in it that'll sit in those pockets. But go for a sourdough if you're bothered at all.
Right, somebody's concerned about the fatty liver as well and wondering if it can be reversed.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally. Like non-alcoholic fatty liver, like, is literally your diet. It's what you're eating. There's inflammation there somewhere. So we just have to get that right. You drive down the inflammation. The liver, like, everything goes through it. It has to do with the detoxification piece. So it's under serious pressure. And like your good cholesterol absorbs your bad cholesterol in your liver. There's a lot going on in the liver. So you can make the liver well if you make its job easier. So you just need to take away all the inflammatories, and it's all the processed foods, and it's back to the normal healing.
And are you saying, did I take this up correctly from you, that in your experience and since you've begun doing this job, the figures are getting worse for people coming into you?
Massively. Like, I wouldn't have seen non-alcoholic fatty liver like 5 or 6 years ago. Definitely not 10 years ago. Like, cholesterol levels, nearly every single person has elevated cholesterol. I'm only seeing one lot of bloods a week that I'm actually seeing everything is perfect, you know. So like, and I'm not seeing it, like, magnesium levels most of the time are fine. Like your mineral levels, a lot of that is fine most of the time. Kidneys, a lot of the time is fine. Bone, a lot of the time is fine. It's liver, cholesterol, sugars. These are the ones. And like most of these are food related, like pre-diabetic, HbA1cs, like they were under the 42 parameter like for so long for so many people. And now you're seeing they're creeping up, that I would nearly think our normal would probably creep up over time, because now you're getting to like the 44s and the 50s.
What I do like to hear, though, and again, we were talking about this off air, is more and more men are beginning to take care of themselves. So they're presenting themselves to you.
We are getting so many men. Yeah. It's absolutely brilliant. And we're getting the men in that are ready to listen. So they're coming in and they're given their list of whatever it is. And you know the brilliant thing about men, so I'm actually paying a compliment here, is, and any of the women that are in will laugh at this because they're getting it because I'm saying it to them. The men listen to me. And if I say I have 3 meals a day and this is what you need
because
to eat.
Because you terrify them like you do me, yeah.
No, I'm actually very nice to them. But anyway, they have 3 meals a day and they do what they're told. Uh-huh. So it's like telling a man to close his lace. And he closes his lace because he only thinks about the one job in hand. But yeah, so men, we're getting great results. It's great.
All right. Listener saying, I have a pain up through the centre of my tummy after I eat. I'm just wondering about this. It's only in the last couple of weeks.
Gastric. There's something, it's like an acid reflux, like heartburn or whatever.
So there's a food
there's
there
something
that is
going in that as I would say, the embers of the fire are alight, literally. So there's an issue there that they're alight all the time, and whatever he or she is putting in is making the flames go up, and that's the acid reflux piece that's coming up. So there's something there that's happening. It can be food related, it can be alcohol related. It might have started because it was stress related in the initial. But there's something there that's exacerbating it.
All right. If people want to talk to you, Muriel.
Yeah. Can I tell you a few things about blood quickly?
Go on then.
Yeah,
yes.
Really fast, right? Uh-huh. Only 3% of people give blood. That's really bad, okay? So we need 3,000 people need blood a week and only 1,000 people give blood. So if you can give blood, give blood. The average adult has 10 to 12 pints of blood in their body, okay? Mm-hmm. So 7% of the body is made up of blood, but this one was just whatever. The body, or the blood, travels 60,000 kilometres per day on its journey around your body. Did you know that?
I didn't know
60,000 miles around the body every day. I just thought they were like random, whatever.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Thanks. Yeah. If people want to talk to you, Muriel, about random stuff like that.
Anyway, 052-61-4888-1 or www.marito8020.com.
All right. Great to see you. Thanks very much indeed, Muriel. We'll take a break. Back in just a moment.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.